you can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
We are back. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. It is episode number 59 officially right here on PWP Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. It's November 5th, 2013. We shot right through September, right through October. We are in the middle of the fall season. It's getting cold out. The leaves look awesome. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited for the next few months because we are heading directly into WrestleMania season, the most exciting time of the year for all wrestling fans. And we're excited tonight because one of our good friends is on the program in just a couple moments. Bruce Hart will be with us right here live on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio for part two of our interview with him. We conducted an interview with Bruce about 6-7 weeks ago in September sometime. If you want to listen to that, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio and listen to part one. Tonight we are going to go over a lot of stuff we didn't go over last time on the show. I've got a whole list of questions for Bruce, so Bruce, be ready. We got tons of stuff for you tonight. But before we get into that, let's get a little of the cheap plug stuff out of the way. Make sure to visit us on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. Give me a follow. Talk to me. Chat with me. I'll chat with you about anything. I'm pretty uncensored. I'm not always the nicest guy. I kind of tell it like it is from all accounts. I don't sugarcoat anything. That's what I like about myself personally. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to kiss your ass. But if you want to hear from me, hit me up on Twitter at PW Powerhouse. Buy one of our t-shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/PWP. You can also purchase Hart Brother University t-shirts from there as well to support Bruce Hart and the Hart Brothers University. We'll be talking about that tonight and a lot about that tonight, actually. And also visit us on Facebook, Facebook.com/ProWrestlingPowerhouse, where we've just gone over 3,000 likes. And as always, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We've just incorporated some news stories into the website. It's not just news, though, folks. It's not just like three sentences of whatever news is out there in speculation. I'm going to post the news, and I'm going to give you an update on what I think about the news, my analysis, my personal opinion, whether I think it's bullshit or whether it's true. And, yeah, I could be wrong. I could be right. But at least it's something entertaining for you always at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I'm going to bring in my co-host this evening, and he's a big Lex Luger fan, folks. That's why he's got this music. Let's bring in my man, Toph. What's up, Toph?
Hey, apologies for calling in late. I really enjoy the weather this time of year, but the bad part is you kind of forget what time it is. I wasn't even aware it was Tuesday until like 10 minutes ago. Sorry.
It's okay. That's because it turns dark at like around here in Jersey. It literally was dark at 5 o'clock. I'm like, where the hell am I? Why is it dark at 5? I'm living in the future, actually. To me, it's actually 10 p.m. right now. So I'm living in the future. I'm living ahead of everybody right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so cool. We're just about... Do you have some questions for Bruce Hart tonight? Because I got questions for him. I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about with Bruce Hart. You got some questions for him tonight or what?
No, not today. I'm just here to listen.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, if you do have anything, feel free to chime in. You know, send me a text or whatever, and I'll put you into the feed. But without further ado, folks, I don't want him to wait anymore. We're going to bring in the Messiah of Hart Brothers University. He is the legendary professional wrestler and trainer. He's helped make some of the biggest stars in professional wrestling history. If you haven't listened to our first interview with Bruce, you want to go back and listen to it at some point in time. But tonight, we're going fresh. Bruce, you're on the line with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing great, Jay. Nice to hear from you. Thanks for the
absolutely.
Vine, as they say.
No, absolutely. I'm so glad we got back in touch and are able to update the fans because we've got a lot of contestants for our little promotion we're doing with Hart Brothers University trying to send somebody to school to get trained. And a lot of these contestants, Bruce, they are emailing me, and they want to know what's going on. They want to know if they won. They want to know what the deal is. So, you know, I emailed him back, and I was hoping that you could give us a little insight on what's going on right now with Hart Brothers University.
Everything. We're just kicking ass, as they say. Got training going full steam. We just moved into our new facility here in Calgary, and everything's really moving smoothly. We got some excellent candidates, and it's a great time to be getting into the business right now. I alluded to that before, but there's a dire shortage of good talent out there right now, so that's one of our primary objectives here is maybe to replenish the talent pool, you know. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from and seeing some of the people stateside, you know. We trained a lot of guys back in the day from the States, and I'm looking forward to getting some of them up here, and hopefully some of them will be following in the footsteps of the guys you guys have been alluding to.
No, absolutely. And we've ran this promotion, and I still every once in a while get an email from different people that want to be a part of Hart Brothers University. They want to go there, and they want to get trained by you. And they want to know how much longer we should go on with this contest. We're at November 5th right now, and hopefully I'm gonna try to update people on it tonight if possible. So when would you like to crown a winner?
I'm pretty wide open. You know, I was talking to our promotions guy Bob Johnson, and he told me based on the interest and the feedback from you guys, he thought maybe we would declare a winner after Christmas, you know, kind of let them go until then, and then we would, you know, go announce a winner and go from there.
Okay, that sounds great to me, and everybody listening, you heard it from Bruce Hart himself. We are going to do this as a Christmas. This is going to be the ultimate Christmas present for somebody. You're going to get trained by one of the all-time great wrestling trainers on the entire planet in Bruce Hart, and you heard it from him. And if you still want to get in, the contest is still running, please send an email to webmaster@prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. Please include some pictures, reason why we should choose you. We need some reasons. Write me a couple paragraphs. I love reading them because everybody's got a different story and a different reason. And I got to tell you, Bruce, the quality of a lot of these contestants is through the roof, man. And hopefully, you know, some of them will go up to, even if they don't win the contest, hopefully they'll go up to train with you anyway.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I know just in what I've been told, you know, there's some phenomenal candidates, and I'd love nothing better than to actually talk to some of these people in person and just kind of share perspectives and all of that, you know. And as I said before, it's a great time to be getting in. There's a dire shortage of talent out there, which is why they keep having to bring back, you know, the Shawn Michaelses and the Rob Van Dams and the Goldusts and all that, because there's not too many new guys coming in that are, you know, up to it. And that's one of the things I've been saying for a long time, even though they have supposed places like NXT and FCW and all of that. There's no places where they actually take guys once they've been in the actual training camps or whatever, and you know, actually give them the hands-on experience, you know, the work in the ring where they and that's one of the things we're endeavoring to incorporate into what we're doing up here, you know, not just the training, but we're also looking to give them the opportunity to actually apply what they've learned in training in wrestling shows and kind of go from there, you know. It's kind of covers both ends of the whole situation. So.
That's what it's all about, man. And you brought up, and I don't just want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about a lot of stuff in the wrestling business with you. And one great point you brought up is the fact that they have to continually bring back these blasts from the past, so to speak. But, you know, recently...
I have nothing against them. I'm all for the, paying homage to the legends and all like that. But when they're not bringing up too many new guys that are, filling the bill, fitting the bill, then it tells you something about what's out there. I've said that before, but I think Vinnie Mac and company, I think it was a huge mistake back in the day when they went to such lengths to wipe out all the so-called territories or whatever, They had at their disposal, an awesome farm system, and none of those guys were a threat to them or anything, but they sort of went out of their way to kind of get rid of everyone from Don Owen to my dad to Vern Gagne to the Funks to Paul Bosch or whoever, it's kind of like this, big purge, and then that's where most of their great talent came from, and even right now the guys who are, headlining the major stars in the WWE, the most part guys like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton, they either came from the few existing small promotions like King of the Ring or whatever the hell, I'm not even up on the ones in the States, but they didn't come out of Nexus or anything that I know of, like Randy Orton's third generation, so he kind of grew up with it, I think WWE should be embracing, or they should be going out of their way to aiding and abetting the promotions rather than trying to go out of their way to wipe them out, I don't want to digress into a kind of a dissertation on what they've been doing lately, but some of the crap I've seen lately is, it's distressing to, some of the ongoing inane babble with the Big Show and the Paul Heyman and all that other nonsense relative, but it tells me that there's not enough guys who could actually just go out there and, occupy the people with their wrestling. They have to come up with all this contrived horse shit,
Yeah, absolutely, and there's a lot of fans out there, and I'm sure there are fans listening right now that absolutely agree with you on that, man. I deal with fans on a daily basis that are so jaded and just pick apart every little bit of what WWE presents, and they just can't, stand it.
As I said before, I care because I believe if WWE goes down, then the whole wrestling business is in jeopardy. So I'd like to see them, get their shit together. There's a huge fan base out there, and that's what everyone should be primarily concerned with is the fans, not issues between each other, any of that other stuff. And if I was a fan right now, I'd be pissed, seeing these extended run on horseshit, interviews and these. Everyone with a mic and babbling for half an hour at a time, and a guy sitting in a rocking chair, and a guy with a sheep head, and a bunch of other horseshit. I don't even know. I actually try to watch it objectively and give it the benefit of the doubt. And once in a while, I see an awesome match, and I go, "Wow, that's good. I'm happy to see that." And then more often than not, I see. All this, crap, the run-on interviews and the people yakking and guys wearing idiot costumes and guys that have no business being in the ring, you know, being in the ring and all this other stuff, you know. But I think the bottom line is they need to get some wrestlers. You know, they need some new blood, and right now there isn't much on the horizon. You know, and one of the reasons is because there's no place for them to, get to the next level. You know, as I said before, you can only spend so much time in the gym or whatever. At some point, you actually got to go out and apply what you've learned in the ring, and work crowds, and all of that. And that's the way it used to be back in the territories. You know, there's not enough places where guys can, you know, refine and hone their craft and try stuff and get feedback from the fans and all of that, you know, the stuff that we used to take for granted, you know, in places like Stampede or Amarillo or, you know, Georgia or Carolina or Florida or all those places. You know, that's why all those guys, when they got to WWE, were as good as they were, the Bretts and the Davies and the Dynamites and the Kurt Hennigs and the Rick Martels and the Tito Santanas and all those guys back in the day, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you made a comment about long, drawn-out, like, in-ring interviews that have been pretty much a staple of professional wrestling for the last 15 years in WWE, TNA, WCW, whatever. Those have just been there forever. But one thing that I think is missing is the art of just a really good promo, selling the crowd, not only the crowd at home, but the crowd in the arena on what to, like, spend their money on next to buy the pay-per-view. What in your mind, and what are some of the classic promo men of all time? Like, what in your mind makes a good promo, and who are some of the best promos you've ever heard in your career?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think one of the things that's missing is they actually need a decent interviewer. They need a guy who can actually ask pointed questions and guide them, you know. And I'm not sure, like, back in the day, me and Gene, I thought was pretty good, you know. And
yeah, he was excellent. Me and Gene Okerlund really knew how to. He pushed buttons at times when you didn't
get
to
the point.
Know?
And they used to have, I know, on I think they did in WWE or whatever. You always had like 2 minutes or 1 minute or something like that. You had to, get what you needed to say in that time, and that was that, you know. But nowadays, I don't know, it seems like they go on and on and on. Like 10 minutes later, they're still in the ring, and there's nobody controlling the dialogue. They're just kind of, you know, two guys each with a mic, and they're, you know, for me, it's, way too uncontrolled and way too long and drawn out. You know, I'm not sure if I'm jaded or whatever, but if I was a fan and I was watching some of that stuff I saw on, like, Raw last night, I'd be like, man, this is about the fourth time they've been out, and 10 minutes later, they're still in there. And then, you know, I think I saw a show and company out there about three or four separate times, and these marathon, you know, yak fests, you know. Yeah, I remember back in the day, guys like even like Roddy Piper or David Schultz, or there's a lot of guys that like were in WWE, but some of the best guys I saw that were sort of maybe a lot of people don't even realize how good they were was maybe the Stomper. I'm not sure if people down in the States even are familiar with him, Archie Goldie. And another guy who was really awesome back in the day was a guy named Ron Starr, Rotten Ron Starr. And Piper, of course, was great. David Schultz was way better than, you know, he got kind of shafted on that John Stossel thing, you know, but he was a phenomenal interview. And I remember some of those other old guys that were pretty damn good at seems like nobody even remembers them anymore, even some of those way back when, the Sweet Teddy Seekies and the, I always thought Dr. Jerry Graham was a pretty good interview, even though he's, you know, his wrestling wasn't that great, but you know, there was some of those guys were awesome, but just kind of making their point and actually getting heat and you know, engaging the crowd, all that type of thing, you know. And I don't see that many guys out there now. They have all the props and all the everything, but they're not that articulate, and they're not that capable of cutting to the chase and just getting down to whatever they're supposedly trying to say, you know.
Yeah, and that's a sad thing, because they have their handed scripts now, and they're told what to say. But
yeah, I think
of...
scripts are a bunch of crap myself. In the old days, if I had, as a booker, if I had tried to give a guy a script, most of the veterans would have told me to shove it. You know, you know, you never ever told a guy like the Stomper or some of those guys, you know, all you ever did was to sort of give them an overview of what you wanted, what angle you had in mind or what they were supposed to be aiming at, and they would do it, take it from there, and there was, you know, and that's the way it should be. Same with the wrestling, frankly. Back in the day, any decent wrestler, all you'd ever do is maybe give them a finish and a little bit of a overview of what you had in mind. But any of the veterans, if I had told a Harley Race or a Stomper or a Dynamite Kid or some of those guys that I've got a move-for-move script for them or something like that, they would have maybe told me to where to go or thrown it in the garbage and that type of thing, you know. But yeah, there's too many guys pulling the strings like damn wrestlers or puppets or some damn thing, you know, and they should cut the damn strings. And if a guy can't work, you know, without a script, he doesn't belong in there, you know. And but yeah, that's one of the things that I believe is wrong with the business. But the sad thing is there's due to social media and talk shows like yours and awareness and all like this, I think the demand for good wrestling is greater than ever, but the quality is, you know, I hate to sound like I'm putting things down, but it's nowhere near as good as it used to be. And you know, there's not as many great wrestlers and hardly any finishes in the middle and way too much artificial horse shit that is more offensive and annoying than anything else.
No, you know what? A lot of people would agree with you on that. Let's talk about some old school stuff right now. One guy who's always fascinated me and has fascinated wrestling fans forever, and he won't stop fascinating guys, is Andre the Giant. Now, I know Andre the Giant was in and out of Stampede. He used to make his rounds all over the country, all over the world, for crying out loud. But do you have any, like, good stories of Andre the Giant that you could share with the fans tonight?
I had a few, you know. I always thought he was, you know, he was a great guy, you know. He always checked his ego at the door whenever he came up here. He's just one of the boys, and he was always really engaging to the underneath guys. You know, he's like a big star and making good money and all like that, but he was always like buying beer for the band. You know, you're coming back from a town or whatever, he'd buy the beer, and he went out of his way to make all the underneath guys part of something, you know. And hello?
Yeah, I got you. I'm here.
Yeah, I'm not sure there was a phone ringing up. So it was coming from you. He was always just a really engaging guy. But I remember a few Andre stories. For some reason, he, even though he was like a giant or whatever, he seemed to be quite disdainful of other so-called freaks or whatever. But I remember one time we had a battle royal up here with these two 800-pound twins you may have heard of called the McGuire twins.
Yes, I've heard of them.
Billy and Benny McGuire, whatever. So my dad had put them in the ring with Andre, and there was like the 20-man battle royal, including them and Andre. And I'm not sure what it was, but Andre refused to have any, even acknowledge them. He wouldn't even touch them, or he didn't want to even. I think they were two of the first guys put out anyway, but he was like quite disdainful. And, you know, told my dad he didn't want to be perceived in the same light as them or whatever. You know, it kind of made me laugh. I wasn't sure what the implication was, but yeah, he was a great guy, Andre. I think most of the legend and lore with him seems to be about his ability to drink beer and all this other kind of stuff. But yeah, I always thought he was a great guy. You know, real always treated all other wrestlers with a lot of respect, and never had any ego or superstar, you know, mentality, which I think is why he was so popular. I don't think I've ever heard anyone really knock Andre or say that he was an egomaniac, or he was stiff, or he was dangerous. He was all I've ever heard from most wrestlers is nice things said about him.
Yeah, absolutely, man. The stories about him go back a long ways, and they're always great to hear. Let me ask you a question about your career. Have you had your last match? Are you done in the ring?
I never, you know, sort of like James Bond, you know, never say never or whatever the hell, but I don't know. I just play it by ear, you know. That's the best way to put it. You know, I sort of have the equivalent of matches all the time anyway. You're always training out here, and you're sort of in the ring all the time, and you're, as far as that goes, I'm in as good shape as I've ever been in that regard, you know. So you never know, you know. I see how it goes, you know.
Yeah, what was your final match? Do you remember the last match you had?
I think a couple of years ago back out here, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and with some guy named Principal Pound or something like that, and it went fine, you know. Yeah, it was just one of thousands. So. I just see how it goes. You know, I wouldn't be doing it unless there was some purpose to it or something like that. But see what happens, I guess.
No, absolutely. That's the way to do it. Now, I've always heard about the road trips from Stampede Wrestling, about how you guys would all pile into a van and go down these dark kind of iced over roads, and there'd be all kinds of drinking and stuff going on. And a lot of the conditions were very bad and dangerous and stuff. So I'm sure you have a bunch of road stories to tell me, but I'd like to hear the best road story you have for us tonight.
I don't even know if I could come up with the best. There were so many. It seemed like there was always I first off would say, you know, we used to have beer or whatever in the van, but we always had a designated driver, so we never had any of that kind of. I don't want anyone getting the wrong idea that maybe the driver was over the limit or anything like that. But yeah, there was always quite often there was you know, practical jokes and all kinds of insanity going on in there, you know. Yeah, there was always some crap going on. Some of the guys were more twisted than others. You know, I remember the Bulldogs were always, you know, doing some of their goofy stuff with, you know, putting laxatives in beer and stuff like that. You know, they're always up to some kind of mischief like that, you know, which I wasn't really a big advocate of any of that, but there was always some kind of insanity going on with in the vans or their, you know, I'm trying to remember if some of the victims are still alive here. You know, they might be freaking out if they hear. As my dad used to say, a good rib is one where the victim never, ever quite knows for sure whether he actually was the object of the rib or whatever, you know. But, yeah, I don't know, there was, I remember one road trip we were heading down to, we used to go into Montana, so we'd have to cross the border, and I think Davey and Dynamite had given one of the midgets X-Lax or something like that. All I remember is they asked us at the border if we had anything to declare, and this dwarf came out the side door of the van and, you know, let loose right on the compound there. And I think they hauled us all in and gave us the third degree for about an hour, you know. But, yeah, there's always some kind of, you know, mischief going on in the van, all, you know. But, yeah, it kind of helped pass the time, and they're always up to... I remember we had this old fart of an English wrestler named John Foley who he became a pretty... He got over pretty good as a heel manager. Originally, he had, like, a handlebar mustache, and he was passed out probably from being drunk or whatever, but I remember Dynamite Kid shaved half of his mustache off while he was passed out, and that became the genesis for his trademark Hitler mustache, you know, when he woke up and he actually went in the ring that night with half a mustache, didn't realize, and then after he was freaking out, and I remember saying, hey, John, you shave off almost all the other half and just leave a little bit in the middle, and, you know, that became his gimmick, you know. So, but yeah, there was always some kind of mischief. You know, the road trips are pretty long up here, you know. In its own way, though, that was actually a real, that was a good part of the learning process, because you'd be like a captive audience in the van, and you have 8, 10, 12 guys in there, and you know, some pretty knowledgeable guys. Some of the old guards like Leo Burke or the Stomper, or, Ron Starr, or some of those guys, and you'd have the young guys, and most of the time you'd just be sort of talking psychology and methodology and finishes and high spots and all that, and you're sort of like a captive audience, and even if they weren't addressing you, I remember even when I was starting, you'd hear all these old farts like the Funk, Dory Funk, or the Harley Races, or the Killer Buddy Austin, and some of those guys, and you just hear them kind of going over stuff, and it was an incredible learning environment just to be like in those vans and hearing all this stuff, and it was a great time to pick their brains and ask them stuff, and most of them were pretty generous with information and advice and stuff, you know. And I don't see too much of that anymore, you know, and I think that was one of the great things back in the day, you know. And I remember I went to other territories when I was young, like Amarillo or Kansas City or Portland and places like that, and the same kind of thing, you'd get a chance to share stuff with whoever and whatever, and same when I went to England or Japan was great too. You're riding around in the bus for 8 hours from Tokyo to Osaka and stuff like that, and and you'd just be, talking wrestling all the time. And I thought it was an awesome learning experience. And there's not enough of that around anymore today. You know, I wish there was, because I think there would be a lot more great workers, and there would be a lot better brand of wrestling, too.
No, absolutely. Those are some great road stories that made me laugh my ass off. Do you mind if we do a little bit of a name association? Like, I'll give you a name of somebody, and you can just kind of give me what you feel about them. Maybe even if you want to just make it a two-word answer, whatever it is, I'll just list some talent from the professional wrestling history, and you can just give me your thoughts.
Yeah, sure. I'm
okay,
game.
Awesome.
Hopefully I've heard of most of them.
Oh, you will. You will. A lot of them are some of them are from today, some are from yesteryear. And you've brought up Amarillo a bunch of times, and I've just been recently on a Terry Funk kick. I've been watching a lot of his old interviews.
Oh, yeah,
and a lot
Terry
of his old
was
matches.
Awesome.
He was amazing.
Yeah,
so,
one of my all-time
first
favorites,
guy on the list,
yeah.
Terry Funk. First guy on the list, Terry Funk. What's your thoughts on Terry Funk?
Awesome. Just one of the all-time great guys in and out of the ring. One of a kind, great worker, a great guy. Can't say enough about Terry, just a great guy. I wish there was more guys like him. He was one of those guys who really paved the way for a lot of others, and he was an inspiration for so many of those guys who became the great workers, like Teddy DiBiase and Tully Blanchard and even Dusty and Dick Murdoch and I think Backlund and all those guys. So just a great guy, and a great river too. He had a great sense of humor and one of a kind.
Yeah, he's actually wrestling soon up here on the East Coast in New York for Tommy Dreamer's promotion. He's got a match, unbelievable. The guy just won't quit. He keeps going. Awesome. I love Terry Funk. A guy who was one of his greatest rivals in his career. What are your thoughts on Ric Flair?
Yeah, I have a lot of regard for Ric Flair. He had a hell of a lot of passion, and he contributed greatly to the business. Gave his heart and soul to the wrestling business, and great guy, Ric. I spent a fair bit of time with him in Australia and New Zealand and Singapore and those places in the mid-80s. And I thought he was a consummate professional. He took a lot of pride in being the champion. And I thought he did a great job when he got to WWE. I like Ric. Not quite as good a worker as Dory or Terry, but still a great ambassador, and busted his ass every night. Went out and tried to get the max out of whoever he worked with and whatever. So,
did you ever have a match with Ric Flair?
I wish I had. I was on tour with him. We did a big tour. I was the world mid-heavyweight champion at the time, and he and Harley were touring on the same shows with us. We were doing this South Pacific tour for about 2 months back in, I think, 84. So I'd love to have worked with Ric, but I never did get the chance. But I had nothing but respect for him. I've not to digress, I felt bad later on when it seemed like Brett was knocking him, and there was some friction between him and Brett, and he dropped the strap to Brett in 91 or whatever the hell, and it sort of bugged me that Brett was kind of not saying nice things about him. I thought that, I'm not sure what was going on there, but I always thought he was a pretty good guy, I have nothing but positive sentiments about Rick.
Great. How about to keep – I'm going to kind of just transition from guy to guy because everyone's going to be tied together. It's kind of going to be one of these things. But
okay.
Somebody who's tied into Ric Flair was Eric Bischoff. What were your thoughts on Eric Bischoff?
I don't have a hell of a lot of respect for him. You know, I thought he did a horseshit job in, when he was had the reins at WCW, you know. He had an awesome group of talent, and I don't know what was going on there, but with all the talent they had at that time, and the resources they had with Turner Broadcasting and all like that, anyone who couldn't make money and sustain success with that should be ashamed of himself and has no business pretending to be a wrestling manipulator or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and his top guy was for a long time was Hulk Hogan. What are your thoughts on Hulk Hogan?
I like Hulk. You know, Hulk was no two ways about it. He was a huge star. He was the spearhead and the guy who really helped launch, as we all know, Hulk, WrestleMania, and was kind of, you know, the guy who was the spark plug for the explosion of the WWF in the 80s there. So, yeah, I thought he had a lot of charisma, Terry, and he carried it well. And I don't think he was technically the worker that a lot of others were, but nonetheless, you know, he was fully deserving of his iconic status, you know. And always been a nice guy, Hulk. I've never found him to be a bad guy at all, and he always had a lot of freeloaders and people tagging along in his coattails, and I thought he was pretty generous about that, you know. I gained a hell of a lot of respect for Hulk when my brother Owen died, and he was even in WWF at that time, or he didn't need to be up there or anything, but he was up there front and center and was couldn't have been nicer to my mom and dad, and was genuinely just trying to be there for anyone and everyone. So I gained a lot of respect for him for that. And he's had a fair bit on his plate the last few years, and I thought he handled it pretty well, you know. But, yeah, nothing but good things to say about Hulk. Whenever I met him, even when he was in his, in his heyday, he's always a pretty down-to-earth and regular guy. And so, yeah, nothing but nice things to say about Terry.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite wrestlers, probably my favorite wrestler of all time. But one of his major foils in his career, someone who always worked against him was, and who I think is probably one of the most well-rounded performers in wrestling history, is Bobby the Brain Heenan. What were your thoughts on Bobby the Brain Heenan?
I thought he was a great interview, you know, old school interview. And I didn't know him that well. I can't claim to, but I thought he did a great job for Vern Gagne. And I've been sad to hear he's been having some health issues and stuff the last few years, unfortunately. But I didn't mind old Bobby. I thought he did a pretty damn good job as a mouthpiece, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know him in any other role, frankly. But, yeah, pretty good old guy, and I've generally heard nothing but good things from most of the other people that have been associated with old Bobby.
And somebody who he managed in their career was Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. What were your thoughts on Mr. Perfect?
I thought he was an awesome worker and a great guy. I crossed paths with him a bit before he went to WWE and AWA, and I knew him a bit in Portland when he was working for Don Owen in the would have been back in the 80s, and but I remember when I was down in would have been down in Hartford for Survivor Series in 1990, and I remember we were called, as my Brett and I were called out of the dressing room and told that my brother Dean had died in up here in Calgary, and I remember Kurt Hennig, Mike Hegstrand, the Hawk of Legion of Doom, and Kerry Von Erich, all of them couldn't have been more empathetic and sympathetic, and I remember they took us out on the town and just went out of their way to really you know, kind of be supportive. So I thought he was a great guy. Curtin said, I was pretty sad when he died prematurely. You know, he was a great talent and a credit to the business.
Awesome. There's somebody who's tied to Kurt Hennig that, you know, is prevalent right now in the wrestling business, and that is Triple H. What are your thoughts on Triple H?
I actually don't mind, you know, in a lot of ways I, you know, don't envy, you know, a lot of people be saying, you know, envious, but he's got a lot on his plate, and it's sort of like damned if you do or damned if you don't, but I always thought he was there for the business, had a lot of, you know, pride, and guys I spoke to tell me he's actually a pretty nice guy, you know. I think when you're in that and you're playing the role too, you know, there's probably a lot of people maybe taking pot shots at you. But I thought he was a pretty good worker, and whenever I've spoke to him on occasion at WrestleMania or whatever, he's always been pretty straight up and pretty decent, you know. I've talked to a few of his cronies, like Sean Waltman, who's an old buddy of mine, and some of them, and they always tell me he's a pretty good guy, you know, so I've never had any issues with him. You know, I think there was some, I suspect there was some heat between him and Brett. I'm not sure if they've resolved it or not, I really don't know, but so that may have possibly compromised his perspectives toward the rest of the Hart clan or not, but yeah, I always thought he was okay, and he gave his heart and soul to the wrestling business, still does, you know, and yeah, he's in a tough position, you know. I think anyone, a lot of people just kind of knock him because of who he's married to, and they think he's maybe had an inside track, but I always thought he was a pretty good worker and busted his ass in the ring. So I got nothing but generally positive perspectives about Hunter or Paul or whatever you want to call him.
And you've said you've watched some WWE lately, and somebody who's, you know, been embroiled in a feud with Triple H is Daniel Bryan. He seems to be the guy that everybody's kind of getting behind. I know the internet fan base loves him. I've actually known about Daniel Bryan since 2003. And when I first saw the guy, I said, wow, this guy can freaking go, man. I knew it pretty much immediately that he was going to be a top guy in the business, because he definitely can wrestle. And we're only seeing the beginning. So I just gave you my thought on Daniel Bryan. What are your thoughts on Daniel Bryan?
Two thumbs up for Daniel Bryan. I had the chance to meet him and talk to him briefly at WrestleMania when I was down there a couple of years back. But I'm happy to see him getting the push he's getting. He's fully deserving of it, and he's sort of like an old school throwback. You know, reminds me of the Dynamite Kid and Benoit types. You know, he just goes out there and wrestles. There's not too much artificial additives, and he understands, you know, the business, the basics, precepts of selling and coming back, and he mostly wrestles. You know, there's not too much artificial nonsense. He doesn't need all the chairs and, you know, all the other gimmicks and props and horseshit, you know, and he just goes out there and wrestles. And I think he's an inspiration to some of these so-called ordinary people. You know, he's not 10 feet tall, or he's not just roided out or anything. He's just, you know, he's sort of like the little engine that could, you know. He goes out there and busts his ass every night. And I think he's got obviously got a great deal of passion, and I'm glad the fans have embraced him. You know, he reminds me of the antithesis to all the juice freaks and the muscle heads and all of that were getting pushed for all those years that in many cases couldn't work, you know. And then back in the day, a guy like Daniel probably wouldn't have even been allowed in because of his size or whatever. But so I'm really happy to see him and CM Punk too. Another guy's not that big, but you know, they both eat, sleep, and drink wrestling, and they breathe it, you know. And I'm happy to see guys like that, and even Cody Rhodes and some of the smaller guys. You know, it kind of nice to see them getting the, you know, the fair shake that they deserve.
And just to stay on Daniel Bryan for real quick, in your expert opinion, now the internet is kind of pretty pissed off right now about the fact that they've taken him out of the title picture and they have him kind of in the mid card again, upper mid card type deal. Do you think the time will come where they will, you know, hand Daniel Bryan the ball and say, here you go, run with it? Will they give him a long WWE Championship reign?
I actually think they need to, my estimation, they need to get rid of one of the, either the WWE or the World Heavyweight. You know, they almost cancel each other out. But I almost think Daniel's in a better position. Sometimes you lose your sympathy or your edge if you're a face, if you have the belt. You know, if he does have the belt, I'd certainly, you know, think it would be cool if he had a long run. I have no idea, obviously, what they're planning on doing, but I think they should definitely keep him, though, in the main matches. I agree with you. I'm not sure if it's a step down if they're demoting him to have him engaged in this tag thing or whatever, but I think he's their hottest face right now, and they should be really careful how they, you know, deal with that, because they don't want to, you know, sometimes you lose that lightning in a bottle, and I think they captured it for a while there. Hopefully they still have it with him. You know, he's like a phenomenon, and he's almost capable of, you know, carrying the ball right now, and maybe almost kind of allowing people to disregard all the other horseshit that's going on, you know. But yeah, I don't think he should be demoted. I think they should, you know, sustain the focus, and you know, I'm not sure what their plan is, but to me, he's you know, kind of a once in a generation phenomenon, and they shouldn't you know, let that subside. You know, they should be really doing whatever they can to sustain that whole thing right now, because it's really gotten over, I think, you know. And I'd say same with CM, you know, He was over pretty good. I'm not sure if he's lost his edge or they've been... Some of the stuff to me wasn't all that compelling with him and Paul Heyman and some of that recently, but I think he... those are, to me, two of their MVPs, those two guys, you know, so I hopefully have some good plans for them.
Absolutely. I hope so, too, and we all do. All the wrestling fans do. Do you ever watch TNA? Do you ever keep up with that product?
Unfortunately, I don't catch it very much. What's been happening down there, anything that I should know about her?
Well, the big news story right now is not really even what's going on inside the company. They do have a AJ Styles, who you might know. He's their world champion.
Yeah, I thought he's a great worker. You know, I don't know whether he's got any guys to dance with down there or not. You know.
Yeah, well, they just put the world title on him, and he apparently left the company. He's got, you know, kayfabe, no contract. So he's going down to Mexico, and he's defending the title down there. He might take it to Japan, defend it over there as a part of the storyline. But the big thing that's going on with them is they're talking about the company might be up for sale soon. The Carter family might be getting out of the wrestling business, or they might be selling a majority of the company. And I was just wondering, you know, maybe Bruce Hart can throw his name into the fold. Maybe Bruce could run TNA.
Without sounding like... an egomaniac or whatever. I have no doubt whatsoever if I... you don't need that much. You need a nucleus, and we did that back in the 80s where I just had a small nucleus, and I sort of built it around Dynamite Kid and a couple of others, and it started growing from there. You get rid of all the deadwood and all the... you know, the hanger-oners and the washed-up retreads and unemployed for a reason, misfits and all like that, and actually just, you know, maybe reestablish your brand, reestablish your belt, reestablish your style, and go from there. I think that, for me, the big flaw with TNA in the past is they, you know, they had this asshole mindset where you bring in anybody that WWE had dumped or whatever, and all of a sudden push them to the top, and they were doing it at the expense of guys like AJ Styles. And for years, you know, that was the death knell of it, even during the Bischoff days, you know, where they were bringing in, you know, these guys that Vince had let go of, and at the same time they were letting go of, you know, guys that were up-and-coming stars like Steve Austin and Chris Benoit and Jericho and Eddie Guerrero and all of that, you know, and they would bring in whoever Vince had canned, you know, and so I don't know. I have no doubt whatsoever it could orchestrate some pretty serious success, and their main thing would be weaving, you know, your way through all the political horseshit, you know, because I think that's been pretty pervasive in there for the last decade or so. You know, they got all these guys that are guarding their positions, and you know, some of these old mercenaries and old hanger-oners protecting, you know, their positions and going out of their way to keep anyone else from getting in. But yeah, it's been sort of sad, and in its own way, I think it would have been great for Vince and the WWE as well if there was a more viable so-called competition or whatever. You know, I think they have to get that mindset now that you need more competition, more, you know, viable brands of wrestling out there instead of, you know, nothing. You know, that's my belief. Like, I don't think Major League Baseball would be infinitely stronger if there was no minor leagues and there was no, Little League and all that other, you know. Right. It should all be perceived to be generating the brand. And by that token, I get pissed off when I hear about the so-called WWE Universe, and which is just a name anyway. But in actuality, they should be embracing and helping any of these other promotions. It would be good for them, and that's the biggest threat to the whole business right now, is the grassroots have, you know, been, you know, kind of eroded, and is virtually they need to rebuild that from the ground up, and I'm not sure if they're capable or even have any initiative in that respect.
Yeah, I think it's a different business now. I don't think they really want to do that necessarily. It's turned into more of the entertainment type deal and the mainstream, trying to get as mainstream as popular as possible, than to really go back to that basic, you know, basic structure of professional wrestling and how to bring it up from what it was back to
basics.
They
really need to go back, you know, at some point. You know, they really need, I think they really need to reestablish wrestling. Even though it sounds anachronistic or, you know, like you're living in the past, I think they really need to almost go back to where they, regardless of whether people sneer at it, they need to really go back to where they're treating it like it's a shoot, and not telling the world 6 months before who's going over at the next pay-per-view or who's dropping a strap, or you need to keep their cards closer to their vest. And I don't think the fans even want to know. You know, if I want to go to a damn movie, I don't want somebody telling me if what happened before I go in, you know. But I don't know. I think they need to really adopt a new mindset, which is an old mindset. Go back to, old school in that respect, you know. Whenever I'm talking about old school, I think people get the wrong impression, like you're like some old dinosaur living in the past, or you're, you know, talking about Vince Lombardi and, you know, something like that, you know. But I think you really need to reestablish, I think, to use a football analogy, you need to use the run to set up the pass, in this case, the run being wrestling, to set up the heists and the swerve finishes and the outlandish characters and the long-winded interviews and all. But at the bottom line, at the base of it all, the wrestling still has to be strong. You know, if you had the NFL and you had all the big busted cheerleaders and the all the other crap, you know, but the football was a bunch of crap, it wouldn't fly, you know. And and that's the one thing that is kind of not what it should be right now, the wrestling itself. In my estimation, it's not even close to what it used to be. And bottom line is they don't have enough guys that actually can wrestle, so they have to keep, you know, having the Funkasaurus and the Divas and the girls and the babble and the bullshit and all the other, you know. Maybe I'm living
you know,
in the past. I don't know.
You know what, Bruce? That's why we're doing these series of interviews with you, because we want to get Hart Brothers University out there. We want people to know about it, because that's your initiative. You want to build the future of the professional wrestling business, and you can follow.
Yeah,
go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I hate to sound like self-righteous or anything, but I genuinely care about the business. You know, I've spent my life in it. It's been a, you know, my whole family, my dad and all like that. But yeah, I genuinely care about it. It's been good to the Hart family. I feel like I you know, am obligated to put something back, and hopefully some of the stuff I'm saying, it's, you know, reflective of that. You know, it's I think the bottom line is the fans deserve better than what they've been getting. And if I was a wrestling fan, frankly, I'd be pissed off anywhere in North America. You know, like back in the day in Calgary, you used to get 52 shows a year every week in Edmonton, and you go down to Amarillo, or you go to Kansas City, or you go down to Tampa, or whatever, and fans were getting wrestling every week, and they were seeing an ongoing procession of stars, and you'd have the Andre the Giants and the Dory Funks and the Harley Races and Ray Stevens and guys like that coming in, and you don't see that. You see the WWE come in once a year with one of those overblown sterile cuckoo horseshit things, you know, if it's not a pay-per-view and it's not a damned WrestleMania or something, you know, they don't even give you much of a show. It's all this kind of, you know, all talk and not much action and all that. But if I was a fan, I'd be pissed. Like, wow, we used to get wrestling every week and go down for $8 or $10 and get our fix and all like that, you know. And I think they need to go back to that. You know, I can't imagine if I was a baseball fan and they maybe the Yankees, say even New York, and maybe they played twice a year or something like you'd be shaking your head and saying, no, this doesn't cut it, you know. And that's the way I see the wrestling these days. You know, even if WWE and they come here maybe once every 18 months or something, it's like, if I was a fan, I'd say, screw that. I'll maybe go turn my attention to, you know, some other sport or something else, you know. It's too bad, you know, because I think the fans are still wanting that, you know. And I run into fans all the time up here, and they tell me they didn't realize how good they had it till it was gone type thing, you know, because they had like a weekly diet of Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy and Brett and Bad News Al and Honky Tonk and Jake Roberts and Junkyard Dog and Chris Benoit and all like every week, you know, and they're going out and busting their asses, you know. They we had to sink or swim on whether we gave them a good show, so there was no mailing it in or going through the motions, and I think the fans all over the world really have had that taken away from them. And I'm hopeful that maybe, what we're doing up here might, you know, we're trying to interact with some of the promotions in the States. You know, I think there's a few flickering flames out there that have the same mindset as us, you know, and maybe it'll lead to something. And as I keep saying, WWE should be supporting that, not trying to extinguish it. You know, I don't know what the hell their mindset is either, you know.
No, absolutely. And you could definitely follow Hart Brothers University on Twitter. The Twitter account just recently opened. Follow it at Hart_Bros_U. And you could also get in touch with Hart Brothers University on Facebook by searching Hart Brothers University. And Bruce, man, it's great having you on again, and we'll get back.
Likewise,
to next
I hope I didn't get too long-winded for you guys. You know, I don't know. You know, I definitely appreciate the, just what you guys are doing. You know, there's not enough people that understand it and articulate it very well. You know, but yeah, you guys are. Business needs more people like you guys, you know, and you guys are sort of a vital element in sustaining the, perpetuating the business.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Your stuff is gold, man. You can just keep talking and talking, and we love it. I'm getting tweets that are coming in that are loving what you're saying. So I appreciate it tonight, and we are going to choose this winner and announce it right around Christmas time. We'll announce a definite date. Next week on the show, I'll have a definite date for you guys, but you can come back on the show and you can announce it for us. Is that cool? You want to come back around Christmas time?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. That'd be great. I hope I can get down to your neck of the woods and meet you guys in person. You know, I'd be delighted. Maybe I can even come down there and do a seminar or something like that. You know, it's something we've been talking about with some of the guys down the East Coast, the Bobby Oceans and some of them, you know. So that might be happening too, you know, if such is the case. I'd be delighted to meet you guys in person and, you know,
see what's happening. If that happens, I'll be there. No question about it. And we'll get a couple beers. We'll have a good time. It'll be great.
I'll look forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Bruce. And I'll be in touch and tell Bob I said hello. And he's a great guy, very easy to talk to and stuff. So tell him I said hello.
Yeah, he's got nothing but high regard for you guys. So all the best and talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
You're welcome. Take care.
Take care, man. Bruce Hart, that was the one and only Bruce Hart. Part two of our interview is done. Great stuff tonight. Gold from Bruce Hart. He didn't hold back. He kind of got out there what a lot of people are, you know, thinking about WWE and thinking about the business in general. He brought up a lot of great points. Some points people are aware of. Some points not really. You know, a lot of people don't always think about certain things that he was bringing up. And I personally, I'm a fan of WWE. I like TNA. I like Ring of Honor. I like it all. But he's right. There needs to be a sense of getting back to basics at times. You know, there's always going to be that entertainment element to what goes on, but you need to get a little back to basics. So I'm going to bring Toph in right now, who's been patiently waiting on hold this entire time because he just wanted to listen tonight. He didn't have any questions for Bruce. So, Toph, man, what are your thoughts on some of the stuff Bruce Hart said tonight?
The one part that caught my attention, and this is something that I've been really annoyed with, and wrestling for a very long time, not just in WWE, but really in all promotions, it's something you don't see anymore is when he was talking about Mean Gene Okerlund and how sometimes it's not just the wrestlers on the roster, but a lot of times the commentators and the backstage interviewers, they need to have personality too because they can ask those really difficult questions to put the wrestlers on the spot, and Mean Gene was kind of like that. That type of figure you don't really see anymore. You know, for instance, you see this a lot of time in wrestling now, and it's kind of annoying. Like, say there's a backstage segment in WWE, and, you know, say a heel like Randy Orton is getting ready to get interviewed. You know, as he's cutting a promo, you know, like, say Josh Matthews is there holding the microphone getting ready to ask Randy Orton a question. 9 times out of 10, the heel will just take the microphone from the backstage person and just cut a promo. And it's like, well, wait a minute, if you take the mic, then, like, why is he even here? Like, what do they get paid for? Like, what's his job? It's the same thing for a face, too. It's like the interviewer is supposed to ask the questions. You know, you show the interviewer, and then you show the wrestler answering the questions. But it's like if you interview a baby face, like, say, John Cena or CM Punk or Daniel Bryan, the camera just focuses on the baby face, and it's like completely ignoring, like, you know, the interviewer that's there. The whole point of the backstage interviewer is they're supposed to ask the difficult questions, you know, to show personality to whatever wrestler is being interviewed, which gets the fans invested. And really, like, for the past decade, you really haven't seen that. The last person I remember that even remotely got involved with the crowd was probably the coach, Jonathan the Coach. You know, his matches weren't very good, but it all started with those segments with The Rock where The Rock made fun of him, and, you know, then Coach kind of turned heel, and, you know, for a short time, he even had a commentary position. I mean, you remember all that?
Oh, absolutely. And you're bringing up some great points. I do like looking at Renee Young. I think she's beautiful. I think she's gorgeous. And she does a good job talking to the wrestlers. Don't get me wrong. But you're correct, and Bruce Hart was correct, that a girl like her, she's just reading the questions that they tell her to ask. There's no sense of taking that question. Like, say, for instance, in 1988, if Mean Gene Okerlund is set to do these in-ring interviews with Hulk Hogan or whatever, and Vince McMahon sits down Mean Gene and says, Gene, we're going to want you to ask this, 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 and this. Mean Gene is not going to read those questions word for word. He's going to take those questions, put them into his own character, kind of feel the crowd. It's the same stuff. He was brilliant, brilliant in WCW doing those interviews with people. And in this day and age, that really is lacking. But the one guy, unfortunately, this is pretty unfortunate, the one guy that I think could do it, but he does Raw and SmackDown as it is Michael Cole. I mean, Michael Cole is a guy who, believe it or not, I know he gets a lot of shit from fans, but he just is great at what he does. The amount of content that comes out of his mouth each and every week on Raw, on SmackDown, whether it's talking about the app or talking about the website or discussing this, discussing that, segueing stories, you know, talking about the main event at all times, he does a fantastic job, and he would be perfect for that role. It's just unfortunate that he can't have that role because he's already got enough roles. But, yeah, the coach was great and everything. So, yeah, no, I agree with you.
I agree with you. I like
Cole. Go ahead, Bill.
I agree with you. I like Cole. I've never had a problem with him. I just think Cole is the victim of uncircumstance and bad timing. You know, he was always there to take JR's spot or somebody else's spot, you know, but I've never had an issue with Cole. One of my favorite announce teams was Cole and Taz in SmackDown. I thought they had great chemistry together. Taz, Tanae, not so much. Cole, Jerry Lawler, not so much. But I love them as a commentary team. One of my favorite moments ever was when Brock Lesnar had that brutal match with Zach Gowen, and Lesnar just, like, destroyed him. And Cole was just all over him on commentary. I mean, people talk about how JR, like, oversell stuff, but if you go back and watch that, I mean, it's hard to watch because it's so brutal, especially by today's standards, but like Cole was just all over. He was so invested. I mean, you know, I don't have a problem with Cole. He's good if you give him a chance, but you know, most folks just don't like him. I guess he's unlikable. I don't know.
Yeah, man. And you know, it's a small little detail. And that's what I'm saying is like Bruce Hart, guys like this, people who have been in the wrestling business for decades, they see those little things that the average mark on Twitter, and I'm using that word a lot more often, by the way, but the average mark on Twitter is not going to notice, you know? So that's what matters. But right now, Tope, we're going to take a small little break because I got to get up and stretch the legs. However, we are going to do our greatest promo ever, number two right now. So, Tope, I want you to listen to this one, and I want you to listen good. You haven't heard what it's going to be yet. In my mind, it's not maybe one of the greatest promos, but in its own right, it has kind of solidified its spot, professional wrestling. And people can take whatever they want from it and kind of roll it the way they want to roll it or talk about it the way they want to talk about it. But we're going to analyze it after this. And you're going to listen to it right now, folks. And we're going to have different ones every week. So get ready. Here is, Tope, you better be listening. Here is the greatest promo ever.
Hulk Hogan, have a question to answer your question as you. Travel with experience, malfunctions. As you realize, all that is left is total self-destruction. Do you, Hulk Hogan, show self-pity? Do you, Hulk Hogan, try to reason why? Do you, Hulk Hogan, try and comfort the normals that have even more fear than you? Or do you, Hulk Hogan, kick the doors out? Kick the cockpit door down. Take the two pilots that have already made the sacrifice so that you can face this challenge. Dispose of them, Hulk Hogan. Assume the controls, Hulk Hogan. Shove that control into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan. Do reduce yourself to total self-destruction. As you realize, Hulk Hogan, you are about to enter a world close to parts unknown. Oh, smell it, warriors. Do you, Hulk Hogan, look for a place to hide? Or do you, Hulk Hogan, face that challenge that may be more powerful than even you are, Hulk Hogan? You, Hulk Hogan, must self-destruct so that you will know, Hulk Hogan, who is the Chosen One. For Hulk Hogan, I am not the Chosen One that you speak.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was the greatest promo ever, number two. But real quick, just to remind you.
What's up? This is the Friday Night Delight, FKA John Morrison, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
You know what's funny about that soundbite is it took John Morrison about three attempts to get that down pat. You figured he'd be better than that. But I'm just kidding. He's awesome. John Morrison's fucking cool as hell. But greatest promo ever, that was, of course, the famous Ultimate Warrior WrestleMania 6 build-up promo on Hulk Hogan. And to me, it was brilliant in so many ways. And it has a whole different dynamic when you're listening to it and not watching the Ultimate Warrior say it on your screen, just like Dusty Rhodes last week. Toph, I'm going to kick it to you. What were your thoughts on the second edition of Greatest Promo Ever?
Yeah, I really have nothing positive to say. I'm not really a Warrior fan. I'm pretty much convinced there's a generation gap, kind of. Actually, about a month ago, I sat down and I watched all of Warrior's DVDs. I watched The Rise and Fall of Warrior, and I went on his YouTube account. Great motivational speaker. I'm happy he's turned his life around, but I've never really been a fan of Warrior. I just don't get it. I don't see what was so popular about him. He came in the ring, he ran. He had, like, no moves, like a clothesline, a splash. No one knew what the hell he was talking about. I just don't get it. But, hey, you know, that generation liked it. So I've heard that promo before. I just don't get it. Listening to that is like going to French class. Never fun.
Well, that's cool because to me, you know, greatest promo ever, it doesn't mean it's the greatest promo ever. It means there's something – that promo, you know, you don't think it's the – it's the greatest, obviously. I don't think it's the greatest. But that promo has left a mark in professional wrestling for sure, whether it was listening to Christian and Edge and Chris Jericho make fun of it on the Rise and Fall of Ultimate Warrior DVD or whatever, so Self-Destruction Ultimate Warrior DVD, or hearing it in the build to WrestleMania. Now, Ultimate Warrior cut probably three or four promos on Hulk Hogan that were pretty famous heading into WrestleMania 6. All of them had that same kind of dynamic to them, the changing of the levels, the what the fuck is he talking about type deal. There was a sense that Ultimate Warrior had to be a little different than what he was doing in previous, you know, months or years or whatever, because this was obviously the biggest match of his career. So going into a match with Hogan, you have to change the pace up a little bit, and he did that. And he went as far as to, you know, to Hulkamaniacs, what he was talking about in that promo, which was obviously Hulk Hogan needs to take control of a freaking plane, dive it into the ground, nosedive it. To me, it baffles my mind. It's insanity. But I can't tell you what I was thinking as a 5-year-old, but I know I heard that as a 5-year-old. I know I did. I was too hooked on WWF at the time. I know my mom listens to the show. She probably will tell you the same exact thing. I was so hooked on it, Toph, that I know I listened to that, and I was probably fucking terrified when I heard it. And that's, I think, the brilliance of it, is he did something that nobody knew what the fuck he was going to do. Nobody knew what he was going to talk about. He did something completely different and weird at the time, and it kind of has lasted the test of time. Everybody's really heard that promo. If you haven't heard that promo, if this is the first time you've heard that promo, I suggest you go back and listen to some more Ultimate Warrior stuff, because it gets crazier. It gets crazier than that, and I promise you, folks, if you listen on a week-to-week basis here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, I will give you another Ultimate Warrior promo. But next week, we will have something completely different from that right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, the greatest promo ever. So, yeah, that's that. Last week, we did Dusty Rhodes. This week, we did Ultimate Warrior. I'll also post it on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And please, buy our T-shirt. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse has four, count them, four different T-shirts available for sale right now, ProWrestlingTees.com/PWP. And get this, to listeners of the show, if you buy a T-shirt, hell, Toph, even if you buy a T-shirt, if anybody buys a T-shirt, I will give you, I will send you personally, you got to let me know, you got to hit me up on Twitter and let me know you're the one that bought it. I will send you a wrestling DVD from my personal collection for free. I'll pay for the shipping. I'll pay for everything if you buy a T-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/PWP. Just make sure you hit me up and let me know that you did buy one. And if you buy two, I'll send you some more shit. I'll send you one DVD and some more random wrestling swag, because I got tons of stuff over here at the old office that I'm trying to get rid of. So, yeah, buy a T-shirt. All right, Toph. Let's kick it into Overdrive, and let's talk a little bit about TNA Wrestling. TNA was kind of the hot topic over the weekend about this apparent sale. We talked about it a little bit last week, but it wasn't really as prevalent as it is now. Names are being tossed around, like Billy Corgan, like who else did I hear? Some other famous guy who they didn't really say who he was. But today, the memo that Janice Carter, who is the mother of Dixie Carter, she's the chairman of the board of Panda Energy. She stated that TNA is not for sale, and they are not looking to sell the company. So I don't really know what to believe, because if I'm the owner of TNA, I am not going to tell anybody I'm selling the company. I'm going to try to do it behind closed doors. I'm going to try to do it where nobody knows. You don't want that information getting out. You want people, your employees mainly, to feel safe in their jobs, because if Billy Corgan comes in, he might, you know, fire some people. Who the fuck knows? So it turns out Billy Corgan might not be the guy that's involved, or he might be. I don't know. He basically on Twitter told Dave Meltzer to shut his mouth and to shove it up his anus. So Toph, man, let's hear your take on this entire TNA for sale bid, you know, kind of week two of this.
I'm just waiting for Spike TV to make an announcement. You know, they have a really close relationship with TNA, and if something was up, I would expect something from them. I have a lot of friends that live in the L.A. area. You know Kay and me. You talk to him sometimes on the Flock page, and he keeps me informed as well. So I'm more so looking out, you know, for anything in the Spike TV production group. If there's something like that going on, they would inform me and tell me. But otherwise, you just got to wait and see. And I think we're all pretty much in agreement about Meltzer. Meltzer doesn't know what he's talking about at times. Sometimes I feel like Meltzer just wants to post something just so he can be the first to, you know, say something so he can get more views to his site. So, you know, Meltzer can be hit or miss at times. We've discussed this before. I mean, we talked about it last week, so yeah. But obviously, Dixie Carter's mom is just, you know, trying to, you know, look politically correct. You know, of course, if something is being sold, you don't want to acknowledge it. You know, you want to do it behind closed doors. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. And the thing about Dave Meltzer that always baffles me is that how the hell can we expect Dave Meltzer to know how much Billy Corgan's worth? I know the rumor broke out that he's worth about $50 million net worth, but how does Dave Meltzer know exactly what it is? You know, how do I know what it is? I don't. We don't know what he's got going on. We don't know the kind of people he knows. Billy Corgan, and I know you didn't know who the hell he was when this story broke, Toph, but that guy has been prevalent in the music industry for over 15 years, close to 20 years. Smashing Pumpkins has been around for a long time, and they're a band that really took off in the late 90s, 96, 97, 98. Their songs were top of the charts of rock and roll. They were, you know, MTV, their video was number one for a long time. I'll never forget they had a great performance at the MTV Movie Awards. They were big stars, and they still have a loyal fan base, and they're still making music to this day. But the most fascinating thing about this, Toph, is Billy Corgan does run a wrestling company out in Chicago called Resistance Pro. And a lot of people have kind of talked about the weird stuff that they've done over there. Like, I don't know if you know this, Toph, but they had an angle where they had a heel beat the shit out of Jesus. Did you know that?
Beat Jesus? You mean a guy dressed as Jesus?
Yeah, they had somebody come out. They had a match where the heel beat the babyface, and then Jesus came out. Jesus Christ, yeah, Jesus Christ came to the ring and kind of just stood there and was staring at the heel, and it was weird. Like, the whole building was silent, and then another heel came out and attacked Jesus from behind. This heel attacked Jesus from behind and chokeslam Jesus Christ through a table.
That sounds like something ECW would have done in their heyday. Wow,
yeah,
where is this located?
This is in Chicago, and apparently I know from Pat Ketza, who's a former member of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and a buddy of mine on Facebook, but he told me that the whole building was silent. Everybody was offended. Nobody got it. So it kind of didn't work. But that's the kind of weird shit. Like, he's got a very interesting kind of mind, and rumor has it that Raven, Scott Levy, Raven, is actually the booker of Resistance Pro, or at least helps with the booking of Resistance
I can
Pro.
Believe that. If you said that from the beginning, I wouldn't have laughed. But since you said Raven at the end, that now it all makes sense. I can believe that. Raven, great mind, but yeah, that guy is weird. I love him, though.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He's the kind of mind you might need for TNA, because he's a great wrestling mind and thinks outside the box and does weird shit like that every once in a while. I'm not saying to beat the fuck out of Jesus Christ. Wait, did I just say fuck Jesus Christ? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But I'm not saying.
Now, Raven's amazing. He's like one of the few guys that's been everywhere. The dude's been ECW, WCW, WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. I mean, when you've been to all those promotions, you've seen many things. You've seen how different people book. You've seen the pros and cons of every promotion. That's just like an entire ocean of knowledge right there. TNA should definitely. Yeah. If I was in charge of TNA, I would be doing everything I could to hire that guy as a booker or somewhere in the creative team, something. You know, that's too much time to be going to waste right there.
Yeah, he actually, he's good friends with Billy Corgan. He starred in Billy Corgan's Smashing Pumpkins video. I'm not sure which one, but a recent video they did. He was in the video. And apparently, though, he's had just an array of health issues. He's got diabetes. You know, he's a little bit overweight last time I saw him. But the thing about Raven, man, which is fascinating to me, is he was able to overcome everything in professional wrestling. And still, he had a job in TNA just a couple years ago, doing work with them when they had that extreme ECW type of stable. And even after he tried to sue WWE, that's the biggest thing that he did, was try to, I don't know if anybody knows it out there, but he had a lawsuit against WWE over the entire independent contractor thing, which if you ask me is complete bullshit for WWE wrestlers. They should not be considered independent contractors. But he tried to sue them, and apparently, like, the statute of limitations was up, so he couldn't really go through with the lawsuit and kind of got thrown out. But he had a point, and I give him credit for having the balls to try to sue WWE over that. You know what I mean, Toph? Like, that to me shows a lot of heart and dedication to what you believe in. So, you know, he's the type of guy who's persevered all this, and he's still staying true.
Yeah, he's very smart. He's very smart. Raven's looking out for not just his interests, but he's looking out for all wrestlers, too. I think more wrestlers around the world, whether they're indie or working in any company, should take to his example and realize that, you know, with the right amount of political power, right lawyer, and, you know, getting your story straight, you can definitely get your, you know, what's coming to you.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. I want to take a little bit of a look. Hold on. I think I'm problems with the internet. Sorry, folks. I want to take a look a little bit at the wrestling news that kind of broke the last couple of days, Toph, and we'll talk about it, and we'll, you know, kind of break it down. And there's one story that broke about Hulk Hogan saying that the deal was done, that he is, in fact, heading back to WWE. Apparently, there's a verbal agreement. Do you buy or sell that, Toph? Do you think that's really going down? Do you think Hulk Hogan has a verbal agreement to head back to WWE?
A verbal agreement for Hulk Hogan. It's hard to say. Depends. I can see Triple H doing that, but Vince, no. I don't see yeah. Vince doing a verbal agreement. Vince is very, very professional. He doesn't want anyone, you know, doing a cameo and showing up elsewhere. So I'm taking that with a grain of salt. What do you think?
I'm going to buy that and say that it's probably true to an extent. This report came from Examiner.com, who apparently has somebody inside WWE feeding them information like this. And I don't necessarily buy that what was fed to this reporter, I don't necessarily buy that it's 100% true. But I do think that Hulk Hogan is an old school type of guy, and Vince McMahon is old school enough to where Hogan and Vince, or maybe Hogan and Trips, may have talked about it, and maybe they're just trying to get the details straightened out with attorneys and agents and all that stuff. So maybe this is a deal where they're trying to work it out before it's actually a done deal. And I'm not going to believe it, though, until he signs the dotted line and he actually comes back and we see him on Monday Night Raw. I don't see it happening. So I'm going to buy it. You're going to sell it. But I still think it's a big possibility. I don't think there's any way he misses WWE WrestleMania 30. But on that note, Dove, there's also a rumor, speculation going around, that the NWO may be inducted into the Hall of Fame next year at WrestleMania. Because if Hulk Hogan gets signed, he's the key member to the NWO. Of course, Eric Bischoff has left TNA, from what we know, what we understand. Scott Hall is making a big recovery. And Kevin Nash is a Legends deal. So it kind of makes sense. Do you buy or sell the prospective idea of the NWO going into the Hall of Fame in 2014?
Last I heard, the idea was for DX to be the big induction. But if Hogan signs, I could definitely see them putting that on hold, putting NWO in. It's been a while since Hogan's been to WrestleMania. His last match was against Mr. McMahon at WrestleMania 19. He made the cameo at WrestleMania 21 against Muhammad Hassan. I believe that was his last Mania appearance, correct?
Yeah, that was. Last WrestleMania appearance was that. He was on, believe it or not, if you want to get particular with it, at WrestleMania 22, I don't know if you remember this, Toph, but they had all those pictures, giant pictures of wrestlers around the arena up top. And he was up there. They had a picture of him up there because he was – I think he still had a deal with WWE at the time. But he didn't appear on the show.
Okay.
But every once in a while, you saw his big-ass face on one of those billboards up top.
Okay. Well, yeah, if that's the case, I could definitely see NWO going in. I mean, pretty much they single-handedly started the Monday Night Wars and, you know, jump-started the Attitude Era. I mean, responsible for all of that. I mean, so NWO is easily one of the most known factions, not just the wrestling history, but of all time. But, you know, let's be honest here. We all know Hogan is not coming to WWE just to get inducted into the Hall of Fame again in the NWO. I mean, this is going to lead to a match of some kind. So it's really just predicting who would Hogan fight. I mean, should he be fighting at his age and his condition? No, but he's Hulk Hogan. He'll do what he wants. So what do you think he'll do?
I personally think he'll have a match. I mean, apparently, from the same report, he has been working and training his ass off. And he's been saying that on Twitter as well, that he's been training extremely hard. But nowadays, being as old as he is, it's taking him a month to kind of like break through the plateau and get back into good physical condition, whereas, you know, years prior, it would take a week. And I know that from firsthand experience. Just when I was 22 years old, let's go back 6 years, I'd be able to put on muscle on my body like no big deal. Within a week, I could put on 5-10 pounds of muscle just if I lifted weights every day and stuff. And I'd get into, if I wanted to get in cardio shape, I could run every day and I'd be in freaking great shape. Now, only 6 years later, 28, I've already seen a difference in the amount of time it takes to get in shape, even if I use the same intensity in the gym. So with Hogan admitting that, you can tell that if he's trying this hard, he's getting ready for that possible one more big match. Should he be getting into the ring? Fuck no. If he falls, he could break his hip. But he's got enough muscle on his body to maybe sustain a couple of bumps. I don't think he'll do anything crazy. He might not even leave his fucking feet, for all I know. It might be a deal. Let's, for instance, not saying it's going to happen, but for instance, let's say he wrestles Cena. I don't see Cena hitting him with an FU. I see Cena kind of tripping him up and putting him in the submission. That's an easy way to finish it. However, Toph, in my opinion, if you're going to bring back Hulk Hogan, he doesn't have to be in a big main event match. He doesn't have to fight Cena, Orton, Triple H, or any of those guys. That's just my opinion. I think it'd be great if he got into a feud with the Real Americans, man. Zeb Coulter, Jack Swagger, Cesaro, because Hulk Hogan is the real American. You know, he's the guy. He invented, that was his song. You know, that's what his gimmick was for years. Here, listen. We get it. We've all heard the song 1,000 times. We know the chorus is, I am a real American. So that, to me, perfect scenario for Hogan. Because these guys right now, Cesaro and Swagger, we know that they're two really good wrestlers. They've been rubbing elbows now with Cena, with the Rhodes brothers. They're putting on fantastic matches. Two straight, and you can't deny this. Those six-man tags on SmackDown last week and Raw this week were both freaking awesome. And that has a lot to do with Cesaro and the big swing and all the great stuff he does, the Swiss death move and all that, and even Swagger still doing his thing. And Zeb Coulter on the mic. It would be awesome if Zeb Coulter, you know, Dutch Mantel, old school guy, everyone loves him. If Hogan was involved with him, maybe got to hit him with a big boot or throw a punch at him, I think it would be huge, huge pop and would make a ton of sense. And, before I get your opinion on that, I actually have got a caller right now. I'm going to take the call because this caller has probably been listening to me and wants to get their voice heard on the show, and that's perfectly fine. So 323 area code, you're on the line with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What's your name and where you're from?
Yo, what's going on? This is Skits, and I'm from Los Angeles, California.
Oh, Skits, what's up, man? You're the WrestleHeads guy, right?
That's me, sir.
Okay, you can find Skits at WrestleHeads Radio right here, Wrestling Heads Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. What's up, man? What do you got to say tonight?
Yeah, I was listening to you guys. You're talking about the whole Hogan situation. I'm hearing that Hogan might be like a special entry for Royal Rumble, which I hope not. I'm pretty sure everybody that's watching professional wrestling these days does not want to see guys like Hogan or Flair in the ring again. They want to see these young guys, you know, do like work, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, and I can't agree with you more, but that's the thing about WrestleMania is, you know, if you think WrestleMania, one of the guys you definitely think of immediately has to be Hulk Hogan. You know, he's got to be one of the top three guys that come to mind when you think about WrestleMania. So if he, like I was just mentioning, a possible scenario with the Real Americans, which could be a small undercard type thing, it would obviously get a lot of attention because it's Hulk Hogan, but it would be something to add to the intrigue of WrestleMania. Now, as far as the Royal Rumble is concerned, Skits, I wrote an article on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, a buy-or-sell deal on this Hulk Hogan scenario, which you can check out if you want. And I was thinking, how the fuck are you going to get Hulk Hogan over the top rope in a Royal Rumble? If I see his old ass, walk down at the Royal Rumble, there is no doubt in my mind. For one, the crowd is going to explode. There will be a pop like we haven't heard since Cena came back at Royal Rumble at Madison Square Garden. The crowd will go absolutely nuts.
Hold on. I was going to say, don't forget Chris Jericho last year. It was ridiculous.
Oh, yes. Jericho's was great as well. I'll give you that. But when Hogan comes down, the pop will be amazing. And if he comes down, he's going to win the fucking thing because I don't see him getting thrown over the top rope. So, personally, I don't buy the thing about him coming back at Royal Rumble. I think it would be better done if he comes back shortly before WrestleMania, maybe a month before WrestleMania.
I don't know. I just don't want to see Hulk Hogan. I don't care if it's WrestleMania 30 or not. I just don't want to see Hulk Hogan at all. I'm glad TNA's got, you know, didn't re-sign him. He just needs to just speech and take care of his restaurant. How about that?
Well, that's the problem. That's the thing with Hogan, though, man. A lot of people have this misconception about the Hulkster. I mean, people just believe that he's this rich guy and he's wealthy and stuff. I'm sure he's got some money, but you got to remember that bitch ex-wife of his, Linda, took fucking everything from the guy. Took his house, took more than half his money, took his cars. She freaking raped him in that lawsuit. I don't know the particulars, but he is probably still paying her. So you got to understand, it's business for him as well. He's got to survive. And being Hulk Hogan, you can't just, you know, go sit on a beach and just get a little bungalow. He's got to maintain that image that he's had for the past, you know, 40 years of his life. So to me, I'm kind of sympathetic to the guy just because I grew up a Hulkamaniac and I love
Hulk
Hogan.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I saw your photo with him. I was like, this argument, I'm not going to win because, you know, you are a Hulk Hogan guy. So.
Well, it's not about win or losing. I'm just saying the way I look at it is, and by the way, Skits, I spent for an autograph and a photo op, and the photo I actually have hanging up in my office. It's a nice freaking big photo that they gave me, printed out, professional deal. But I spent like $200 on that. It cost this club that I went to meet him, it cost them like $20,000 to get Hulk Hogan in the door. So that just shows you, and the place was jam-packed. Place was fucking mobbed. So he still draws.
Where'd you meet him?
I live in Jersey, and he was at this little club in New Jersey called the Forked River House. It's a little bar and club. Really tiny place. But they brought him in, and they had commercials on TV and everything, and they advertised. And let me tell you what, I got there early, and I bought a VIP ticket, which I spent a little extra money, but it guaranteed you, like, first dibs at meeting Hogan because I didn't want to be there all fucking day. So I bought it, just spent the money, whatever, fuck it. I've never met my hero before. I got to do it, and to me, it was totally worth it, you know. So it was one of those deals, man. I love Hulk Hogan. I've only seen him wrestle in person once in my life. I'd love to see him again. But I'm not going to WrestleMania 30, so it probably won't happen.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah, is that all you got? Got anything else to say tonight, man?
This question, are you guys into indie wrestling?
I am. Out here on the East Coast in Jersey, I go to Pro Wrestling Syndicate, which I don't know if you heard of them. You could watch them on iPay-Per-View. They do their iPay-Per-Views on High Spots. I go to Pro Wrestling Syndicate because, number one, everybody there is cool as hell. And if you're familiar with my show, we always hype them up and have their owners and talent and everything on the program. They're just cool people. And so I go there, and I support them, and I love them. I used to be big on Ring of Honor. I used to be a big Ring of Honor fan for a lot of years. But I stopped going, man. They stopped coming around here. They don't really come to Jersey at all anymore. They barely go to Philly anymore. They kind of just hang out in, like, Baltimore and – you know, I don't even know, Delaware or whatever.
Final Battle.
Final Battle's in New York. I know, it's always in New York. But I went to Final Battle, I think it was like 3-4 years in a row. I went to Final Battle 08, 09, 10, and 11. I went to 4 in a row. And after that one in 2011, which I believe was Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, I think, maybe. After that one, I just was kind of – no, was it? I don't know. I don't remember which one it was. But after that, I was just kind of done, man. I watched Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards kick each other for 45 minutes, and they were really kicking each other, man, because I was backstage at that one. And I was watching it from behind the curtain, and they're beating the piss out of each other. And for some reason, man, at that moment, I was like, ugh. That was the last Ring of Honor show I went to, and I don't see myself going back, to be honest with you.
What about your co-host? What about you, bro? Are you into independent wrestling?
Not as much as I used to be. I check out what I can on Botchmania. I know Botchmania is meant to be humorous, but it's a good way to discover other independent promotions out there. Jay is getting me into PWS. I watch that a little bit more. I watch PWG sometimes as well.
That's what
PWG. I'm going to
tell you guys.
My bad.
Yeah,
that
I like
to say Yeah, yeah, PWG, I watched that, and I also watch FWE. What got me into FWE was Stone Cold ET, not sure if you heard of him, hilarious dude.
Yeah,
started off on YouTube just doing parodies. That guy's hilarious. I've seen him in person. So my biggest stint was like in 2010. MTV, the network, had a deal with Lucha Libre USA. I used to watch that all the time. They had a six-sided ring. One week they even had an eight-sided ring, but then it just sort of vanished, but you know how it is on MTV. MTV always seems to get a wrestling show like every 2 to 3 years, and it just vanishes. So, but I've heard good things about NXT also, but I don't know where to watch it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The question on Hulu Plus.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I've heard NXT has like its own vibe. Like it doesn't even feel like a WWE show. I've heard many fans say NXT could just like be its own promotion. That's what fans describe it as anyway.
It really could. But I was going to tell you, like, me and my buddies from wrestling heads. We go to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, like, to like all their shows. Like, it's a big show coming up. It's called All Star Weekend. Guys like Kevin Steen, Davey Richards is going to be there, Eddie Edwards, Roderick Strong, the Young Bucks, Candice LeRae, Joey Ryan. The list goes on. It's going to be ridiculous. Adam Cole, I can't wait.
Yeah, I've watched skits. I've watched PWG before. I used to, and I hate to say it, but I download torrents sometimes. So anything I've seen of PWG, I've seen online, and I've effectively stole. But I'll admit, I'm not a bullshitter. That's the one thing I pride myself on, is I don't bullshit people. So I don't own any of their DVDs, but I have watched the Battle of Los Angeles before, spoiler-free, not knowing who won it, and I thought that tournament was awesome when I watched it. I can't remember who – I think Chris Hero might have won, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm not – don't quote me on that, because I really don't remember. But
That definitely had to be before he got signed. I think back then, I wasn't going to PWG shows back then. I started going early last year, so yeah.
Yeah, they're like, cool, man. They're cool. I like them. We had Joey Ryan on the show a couple months ago, and he talked about it a lot, how he was going back there after TNA and stuff like that, and he put it over, his return to the company. We had talked to him, I think, the weekend before he went back to TNA, to PWG, so... I definitely dig it, but the only problem, man, is it's out in L.A. I'm all the way in Jersey. I can't go to a PWG show.
Got to come visit. Come visit. We'll hang out. I'll show you around. And I definitely got to come to the East Coast one day.
Yeah, hey, man, if I can work that out, I'd love to go visit. I'd love to go to Cali someday. I've never been out there at all. I've never been past Texas on that side of the country. So, and that was Houston when I went to WrestleMania 25. So I've never been that far. So I'd love to go over there someday.
Definitely, definitely. Just wanted to call in and talk for a minute. Don't want to give you guys time here on the show, so I'm going to get off.
No
there,
problem.
I guess.
Skits, no problem. Plug your shit. Where can people plug your stuff? Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find us at Wrestling Heads. On Twitter, or you can listen to us on Mondays and Wednesdays on blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingHeadsRadio. And my Twitter is WHSkits. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks, man. And, yeah, I'll listen to the show. And thanks for calling. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
You got it. All right, cool, man. That's, yeah, it's good hearing from people who don't usually call into the show. I've talked to Skits before on Twitter. That's one thing Twitter's good for, Toph. I know you don't like, you're not into it. And you did promise you would get into it, but that was a complete lie to me that I'm very hurt about. But, yeah, Twitter's something that's cool because I've been able to really network myself on there. I know last night on Twitter, Toph, I called a majority of fans a bunch of stupid marks because they were all flipping out over this weird commercial break that took place after the Shields music hit. And it turned out today that there was some kind of technical difficulty, whatever. Somebody made a mistake. But on Twitter, Toph, dude, I don't know about what happened on Facebook because I wasn't looking at Facebook. But these fans on my timeline were flipping out over nothing, over a commercial break. Like, you got to be fucking kidding me, guys. Like, it's a commercial. You're flipping out about nothing. And then the stupid news sites today report on this like it's a big deal. I guess it was. As my buddy Doug O'Mac would say, I guess it was just a slow news day at the office. So, yeah. So are you joining Twitter, Toph? Are you getting on the Twitter bandwagon?
I was planning on making an account by the end of the year, you know, starting fresh.
Okay. I can dig that, bro. I'll get you some followers, bro. I got over 1,200 followers. You know, it's not like The Rock with over a million, but, hey, 1,200 is not too bad, not too shabby. Not too shabby, so to speak. But,
yeah,
a lot
so
of people...
Let's end this with, like, the dream scenario of how you use Hogan. Here's the deal. You go ahead and fire Vicky because she's useless anyway. Just to say she does something dumb that pisses Triple H off. You give the GM spot to Booker T because Booker T was basically being a kiss-ass anyway, if you remember how he was telling Big Show, do what's right for business, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you had Kane set up become corporate Kane. Why not do that for Booker T? So you make Booker T the GM, you know, have him favor the heels, because they were teasing a Booker Teddy heel thing, if you remember, a while back, and they just sort of dropped it. I'm not sure if you paid it any attention. So go ahead and make Booker the heel GM of SmackDown and have him show favoritism to the real Americans. And then, you know, you have him, you know, basically indirectly screw the Rose brothers, and then you can tie in Booker and Cody's feud from, like, 2011, and then you can tie in the relationship Booker had with Goldust way back in, like, the Ruthless Aggression era. And then you just bring this in with, you know, have Vince come back and be like, you know, Booker T's not really doing decisions that are good for business. We need a new temporary GM that can do a better job that's going to bring interest. And that's where Hogan comes in. You bring in Hogan, and then you have the fans vote on who they want to be GM of SmackDown. Hogan or Booker, fans will vote for Hogan. And then this leads to the Booker-Hogan match, where Booker can finally cash in on the death threat that he made in 97. Booker T, Hogan, WrestleMania 30. Okay, I'm done.
Oh, man. I actually love it, bro, because it would be something that us old-school fans would get and that a lot of other fans wouldn't really understand. But it would be a great angle. Like, I don't even know what Booker T's position is with WWE right now. And here's a little Booker T soundbite.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Yeah, there you go. Here's another.
Aw, shucky, ducky, quack, quack.
Booker T is fucking great,
Booker,
man.
Yeah, I miss him on commentary. He was great.
He was fantastic. He was amazing. And it just makes me wonder why they don't use him on, say, SmackDown. Since JBL does Raw, why not use Booker on SmackDown? Because he's not doing anything right now. Every once in a while, like you said, he showed up. He would show up backstage talking to Big Show or whatever, but you'd have no idea what his role was. But, the Blog Talk Radio lady just told me 90 seconds, although the stream left on the screen says 6 minutes, so we got 90 seconds left, Hove. Final thoughts tonight on the show, man.
Yeah, that was a good show, and, you know, apologies to fans. We just got to take a break from recapping Raw and Impact all the time. Just got to talk about other wrestling stuff, so we can focus on that next week, right?
Yeah, we'll go back to the Raw Impact review stuff, man. I don't like doing that every week either, man. It's fine. We got to do something different all the time. But, thanks to Bruce Hart for joining us. Remember, if you want to get in on this contest to get the Hart Brothers University a free full ride there, email webmaster@prowrestlingpowerhouse.com with all the information that I need to get your entrant in, and we'll announce the winner sometime around Christmas. So that's big news. So thanks for joining me tonight, Toph. As always, you've been great, bro.
No problem. See you next week.
All right. See you next week, Toph. And for Toph, Bruce Hart, and our callers and our listeners, thank you so much for listening to episode number 59 of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. We'll be right back here next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. You can also download us on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. Thanks so much once again for joining us, and peace out, everybody. Keep it real.